It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live Monday, March 4th. Happy March! It's about 8 a.m. Pacific. It's about 11 a.m. on the East Coast. I hope this finds you well. If you're new to the show, we want you to go over to 12radio.com and click the chat link and come join us in the chat room. It's kind of fun. You don't have to talk. You can just hang out and look. If you get there, you'll see the banner that Jay put up for me. Thank you, Jay, at the very top of the screen. And under it, you'll see a little link that says comments. And if you click the comments, and then I have to click all comments instead of top comments. If you know what I mean, you'll see it. And you'll see the amazing Lynn Goldberg in the house. Lynn, how you doing? She's got her coffee brewing. The sun is shining, ready to play with Mark and the 1-2 gang. Thank you, Lynn. Good to have you here. You are always shiny, right, Terry? Terry Campbell's here. Renee, thank you so much. Good morning to you. Nadine's in the house. She said, sure has been a very rough last month, hoping for a more gentle one ahead. Oh, I hope so too, Nadine. I think it looks pretty good for that prediction. Hi, Penny. Welcome. You guys, you can come in. You don't, like I said, you don't have to talk. You have to hit refresh pretty occasionally, which I will do, and I'll come back and say hi to you guys and see how you're doing. It's a Sagittarius moon. It's going to go void, of course, or it is probably void, of course, already. And I want to, I'll explain those concepts to you. I know I get a lot of feedback that the astrological verbiage can be a little overwhelming. So I'll try to explain as I go along. I know not everybody, I mean, that's the point of having people into astrology is so you don't have to be like, translate it for me. Today, this Sag moon, now void, of course, basically is just talking about its condition. Okay. It's talking about a timing period. When the moon is going at the very end of a sign, and it goes through a different sign every 2.5 days, right? So it's been in Sag most of the weekend, so hopefully your weekend was a little inspired. I hope so. Mine was. As it gets to the end and it's going into the next sign, well, as it's leaving, we check and see, is it done connecting to all the planets? Is it making any kind of even mathematical connection to a planet? And if it isn't, before it changes signs, then it's without course. It's without, considered no connection to anything else. So the moon, being our needs and our emotional connection, moves into the next sign, void. Like, it's void. No connections. Now, the minute it hits the next sign, it's out of void. And then it will create new relationships with all the planets. That's about as simple as I can put it. You don't need to know the complex details of it all. But during that time, you might feel void. You might feel without connection. You might feel sort of like an open-ended sense about, you know, what's going on in your life. And some people love that feeling of disconnection. Some people like not being connected to all the other junk, right? And so they do really well, and some people don't do very well with it. So you just see for yourself. This is void, of course, right now. It can get at its best feel freeing, and maybe at its worst feel a little listless or a little, like I said, unconnected. So I have a lot to talk to you about as per usual, and this is a Sag moon, and so we'll be under the influence of Sag, which means we get to talk a little inspired. We're missing the Capricorn moon. Oh, darn. And so we get to feel a little more inspired, get to feel a little like the fiery energy of the planet. Now, Sagittarius is a fire sign, and anytime that you hear that, anytime you hear the word fire associated with a planet, anytime you hear Leo, Aries, Sag, there is a component of fire which is symbolized by spirituality or inspiration, which has the word spirit right inside of it. So it's kind of like a sense of there's more to us than this. Okay. It sort of transcends the physical. And so it's nice for you to know that, so you can take advantage of some of the fiery energies, because we're kind of deep in water right now. And you might think water and fire are opposites. They are not. Actually, the opposite of fire in astrology lingo would be earth. The ungrounded part of fire can't relate really to the grounded part of earthy, of the earthy groundedness of other people or other things or other concepts. So the complaint that we hear about fire signs is you're so ungrounded. You're just like, take a minute, take a breath, quit pushing so hard, you know, that kind of thing. And conversely, if you're an earth sign, the complaints we hear about you are lack of your fire. Like, get off your butt, get off the couch. Even though we don't hear that about all the fire signs, all the earth signs, it's still about motivation. It's still about, like, it's easy for an earth sign to get stuck in the muck of the details of everyday life. You, as Virgos know, Capricorns, lifting your head above the work fray, not getting stuck in work. So when the moon's in fire, like it is today, it's an opportunity for you to sort of use that energy, especially before it goes into Capricorn, to feel inspired, to get uplifted. And hopefully I will be a contributing force to that today, and that you will meet many others along your day. And then it'll go into Capricorn. You'll feel it. It'll be out of the void of course energy. And it, you might feel a little more like, what am I doing? And for the next 2.5 days, we get a little bit of that Capricornian, what's my purpose? Let's take off the BS and let's hear what matters here. What's going to matter here? Okay. The reason I like you to know that is because your awareness of the circumstance kind of lightens up a little bit. It can. If you know, yeah, that's just me reacting to this, it's a little easier than this sort of like unconscious, what am I doing here? So keep that in mind as we talk today, because this is an important dialogue I want to keep having with you, the one about inspiration. And I'm going to segue that into explaining a little bit about Saturn. I'd like to talk about Saturn today a little bit. It's in Pisces. I want to give you some very plain English versions of this, of Saturn being where it is. So I've been reading, I love Liz Green. I've been reading a lot of Liz Green. And, you know, because she's a psychologist and she's a Jungian analyst, she's an astrologer that I don't think many people compare to. And, you know, so she takes us into the heart and soul of this sort of energy, this Saturnian energy. And Saturn is feared by a lot of people. It's the sober sign of the zodiac. It's sort of like the one last planet we have before we leap into these far-reaching planets like Uranus and Neptune and Pluto. It's like Saturn is the one that's sort of like, okay, right before we go, Saturn's the last to deal with our physical reality. The others deal with more conceptual realities, more universal realities, more generational or global realities. Okay. And I don't want to get all heady with you, but Saturn, where Saturn is in your chart, tells you a lot about how you want to integrate the world into your life. So the basics are, you're born as a sun sign. You have a sign, right? Everybody has a sign. That's your sun sign. And you have a moon. Everybody has a moon sign. And everybody has a rising sign, which is the time that you were born. Not everybody knows theirs. But sort of like the trilogy of those is the sun sort of has an identity, a mission, okay, a sense of self and a reason for existence, okay, your motive. The moon talks about the needs and what it needs to acquire, ultimately the motive of the sun. But what it needs in the sign it's in to accomplish that motive of the sun. So if you are a Pisces and you have a Gemini moon, I'm just making it up. That moon needs to have connection and communication and dialogue and information in order for the wholeness of Pisces, that Pisces sun sign, to feel okay. So the moon's vital in our feeling okay, wherever your moon is. And that's why the moon, to many, wherever your moon is, and that's just a matter of running a chart, wherever your moon is, tells us a little bit about your needs, a lot about your needs, a lot about your motive. And the moon is the loudest sign, the loudest planet in your chart, in my personal opinion. Are there exceptions? Yes. And the exceptions are often suppression, fear. You've been pounded because you have a girly moon and you're a man, and you've been pounded, or you have a masculine moon and you're a woman, et cetera, for whatever the reasons are. Okay. The rising sign tells us how we look to go about getting all those things accomplished. Especially those two things. Simple trilogy. The sun is your identity. The moon is what you need to feel at peace and in that identity. And the rising sign is how you go about it, how you present that accomplishment to the world. So we put on a mask and we put on our special clothes, depending on the rising sign. We put on our special appearance. And my example is always you're at home alone, singing at the top of your lungs, and somebody knocks on the door. What you do to reassemble and how traumatizing it is to you sort of explains the rising sign, right? Sort of explains the difference between. So the vast difference, if you're an Aries rising and you're a Cancer sun sign, there might be a big difference in how you present yourself. The Aries is seeming a lot more confident and a lot more self-absorbed, answering the door, but hiding this Cancer who's singing and dancing and putting on strange clothes and being all mushy, talking to the plants. So that distinction, that difference between the rising sign and the sun sign tells us a lot about how you're going to get intimate with somebody, how long it's going to take us to get to know you. Because if there's a big difference between who you are and what you're presenting, if there's a big difference, then you're going to not be as comfortable opening up that door to show the person the big difference. Okay, so typically it's kind of obvious. Some of you have your sun sign right on the rising sign. They're the same. So for you, it's like, yeah, it's who I am. And for others, it's like, I'm going to take a while before I trust you to get in. Okay. If you're a Gemini rising and you're a Scorpio sun sign, for example, Gemini talking and open and just sharing everything. But deep inside, you're like, I'm not letting you in here. I'm not letting you in here. I'm not letting you, right? Scorpio. So those three combine to tell us a lot about the person's motive and mission in life. But then you have all these other planets that sort of come together and sort of stack on top of each other. And we could write volumes about the massive combinations of planets that symbolize who you are. But Saturn's a really, really important one because Saturn tells us a little bit about our fear, a little bit about what makes us uncomfortable, what makes it hard to function, but something that's so vitally important that we do that overcoming it is vital to our mental health, seriously. And overcoming, I mean recognizing. It's not anything to conquer. It's just recognizing. And the reason it's important now is because Saturn in the sky is in the water sign. It's in Pisces. And if you understand Pisces, what you understand about Pisces is its depth of water, its depth of feeling. And if you know anything about Saturn, you understand Saturn's not so big on the depth of feeling. Okay. Saturn's like, this could easily interfere with my mission, because Saturn is about productivity and it's about construction. It's about rebuilding, and it will work with any sign. But working with Pisces is kind of different because it goes to a different level of passion. It goes to a different level of intuition, a different level of feeling. So the concept is nothing that we get done here in the world is done without a desire, a push. So an idea happens, and then there's a level of desire behind that idea that will motivate us to complete it. It's considered that the motivation that emerges, the desire that emerges, is the emotion, the feelings. And so let's say you didn't get something done, that something didn't get accomplished that you had on your list. You might justify it by saying, you know what? I just didn't have it in me. I just couldn't feel it, right? But maybe you really did. And so you stuff those feelings down. And I'll explain that. Like, for example, you do want to get your house clean. You do want to make this move happen. You do want to get a new job. All those things are there, but they don't, but the fear of those things happening, I'm not saying you've got a fear of cleaning your house, but it might be like any other sort of subtle fear, like doing it takes you off track of something else you'd rather be doing, kind of thing. But fear is a big one here when we're dealing with water and emotion, because it's very sensitive. If you know any water signs, if you know anything about them, now fear exists in all signs, right? Water is the one that's hardest to see because it's not so obvious. It's easiest to press down. For example, a fire sign gets afraid. They're out. They leave. They change the subject. They move. Let's shop. Let's go. When a water sign gets hurt or scared, they go in. It's a little hard. It's more invisible. That's my point I'm making. And not to generalize against signs. We all have all of that in us, right? So with Saturn in Pisces, though, for the global world, for everyone, what we might be feeling is an unconscious fear. Something way deeper than what our minds are expressing. And I see it every day. I mean, I know you all do. It feels like somehow we're sitting on, well, think about the things that are coming at us. It's like climate change and fires, elections, bad people, good people, you know, anything, guns. We sit on this stuff. And every day, a little part of us has to push down some of that fear to just get through the day. Some of us push easier than others, right? And so the idea is, if Saturn is in Pisces, Saturn also has a secret weapon, a back door that can help. It offers us the boundaries. It offers us some kind of guardrail that lets us sort of safely take a look at what's scaring us a little bit, at what the fear is. And we do have to wrestle with it. Now, you take that Saturn in the sky that's going on right now, and this week, last week, Wednesday, Mercury and the Sun both pounded it, like exactly. They were exactly on Saturn. So we had three planets sitting on Saturn in Pisces, including Saturn, sitting in Pisces, and you had to deal with something. And if you didn't notice, it'd be really interesting for you to take a minute when you get a minute to feel safe, and sort of see how well you're doing in there. Like, what is the fear that we might be? Is there fear? Did you feel some fear? Are you sitting on a little fear? Are you getting a little nervous? Are you getting a little afraid? And Saturn isn't really good at helping us deal with it, in terms of Saturn is about, you know, it's where we're awkward. It's where it's like, okay, I could be overly worried, or I could get into this and worry my head off. I don't know what to do. It's like the immigrants, the immigration. What are the big political things of the day? I know it's climate change, immigration, whether the government's going to shut down. That's all the political stuff. But the emotional stuff, what about your family? What about illness? What about your health? What about people around you? It's like the depth of this stuff can be overwhelming, and Saturn is the big valve that allows us how much we want it to flow. So that's a good thing about Saturn. But working with it is the thing I want to address. Being able to use this opportunity to sort of get to the truth of some of what you're feeling that's typically a little scary for you to feel. Saturn in Pisces is going to be here for 2.5 years. It's going to go through a particular phase of your life, a particular place in your chart. Like, it might go through your fifth house, your fourth house, your eighth house, whatever. It could go through a house. And as it goes through those, it's so important to understand the level at which stuff might be coming up for you. and you get some control over it. You get control by, first of all, not being afraid that there's a volcano of feelings that you're sitting on ready to erupt. You get to somehow understand that this is it, that there is something that we can look at, that we can embrace, that we can hold. There's some way for us to identify that we're okay, but we might be sitting on some hidden feelings that we hadn't looked at in a while. And they're not given to us from the outside. They're things we push down. Every time we get afraid and we say, let's not think about it, we push something away. Every time, the same with joy too. I mean, if we get too happy about something and go, wait, I got too much to do and let me focus on this first, we push something away. So Saturn is sort of saying, look, you guys, I'm the last sign of the zodiac. I'm in the last sign of the zodiac. I haven't been here in almost 30 years and I'm here. And this is a chance for you to let me be with you, let me support you in sort of opening up a little bit about what some of those scary, hurt, overjoyed feelings are in you. And let's give them some air. Let's give them a path. So if a lot of you have been, so listen to this. If you stuff it down for too long, most of you understand this concept. You know how it starts showing up, right? It can show up as external events happening that you're forced to deal with. I can just leave it at that. I don't have to name the myriad of things that happen that sort of pull our attention, but it's the things that we might go, why did this happen? I've been really good, you know, or I've been taking good care of myself and suddenly I break my ankle. Those kind of things live in the subconscious mind. And they get fueled by sometimes by our pressing down more and more and more things that we don't want to look at in there. So what's a way that we can do that? And what's a way for us to be able to feel safe to sort of like open the valve a little bit and get some breathing room into our lives? Well, one thing is an understanding that you're the source of this. Like, in other words, if something happens from the outside, seemingly happening from the outside, that there's a part of the symphony of your life, the consciousness, the stream of consciousness, the flow of everything, the connectedness that you are to everything, that's facilitating that event. In other words, you're not isolated. You're not the innocent victim ever. You just may be the unconscious victim. And it's important, and I don't want to qualify everything I say. I got to talk to you about qualifications here in a minute. Qualifying meaning, you know, giving a reason behind everything and excusing it and saying, well, you know, I get that there are victims, that chaos can happen. There's no question. But one of the ways to mitigate, to make less the pain, is your awareness. To take some full responsibility for some of the things that you've refused to take a look at, that you've refused to feel, that you've refused to own. And you know what? The shadow is an ugly, ugly part of us. The reason it's called the shadow is we don't want to look at that stuff. It's hard. It's gooey. If I look, it'll stick to me. It'll change everything. I get it. None of that is true, but I get it. It does feel gooey. It feels like, oh my God, if I have to admit this about myself, then what do I do? Well, guess what you do? You cleanse. You get a chance to get light there. It doesn't stay forever. It doesn't stay long. Your willingness just to look at, am I doing that? And it's embarrassing. It's hard, but it's really hard when you're not there to counter the attacks that you do to yourself. Or that you have to be so right. You have to be so right. You've positioned yourself in the world as the right all the time person. That undoing that to now admit that you might have been wrong is too much. Just too much. So drip it. Drip it. Turn the valve just a little bit. Start with the willingness to forgive, like the willingness to say, okay, I have a safe place for me to admit this. I have a safe place for me to go in my head. I won't, you know, I'm not going to torture myself. I'm just going to take a look. But this is your chance. It's not your one and only chance. But sort of if we use the planets as a metaphor, this is a chance for you to kind of get clean. And if we all take this big bath together, it could be fun. There'd be no water left if I got myself in there. But it's a way to bring some joy back in. Stop the bandwagon. Stop this fear train that you're on. Are you really that nervous about the world around you, the future? If you are, then would you be that worried if you had someone to take care of who was worried more than you? See, you can do this by recognizing maybe I've been a little too focused out here. Maybe I can come in just a little and see how I'm doing. Maybe there's something I can do to sort of soothe my inner fear. Something. You know, I love the child analogy. I love you seeing yourself as a child, but some of you really hate children enough that that doesn't work for you. At least that's the feedback I've got. So pick someone that you do love, a thing, a dog, I don't care, a cat. And picture that that thing that you love so much is more afraid than you are. All right, is that how you're going to talk to it, to them? Okay, I'm going to hit refresh, take a look and see how you're doing. Jennifer put a big bathtub in there with a bird. I love that. Thank you. Hi, Jennifer Lakshmi. Good to see you. Jennifer's one of the many advisors at 12listen.com, which I sure hope you'd go see and speak to. Okay, I'm looking through the comments right now, you guys. Hi, Tiffany. Welcome. And Terry, yes, I'm glad you're here. Erica from London. Erica's in the house, sending love from across the pond. Just discovered the magic of ceremonial cacao. Chocolate heaven, my moon too. The weekend was phenomenal. Oh my God. Erica, you know, she has quite the life. She stirs a lot of envy in me. And I hope you're doing well, Erica. Erica's also a phenomenal reader, has a radio show as well. Tune in with Erica Thursday mornings. Audra, how you doing? Good to have you here. Hi, Pamela. Nora, thank you for coming. You're working from home. Oh, I love that. There was a big special today. Happy Women's Month. I can't say enough. I mean, I don't even know what I can't say enough good things about women. I'm in an industry that women flourish in because of your connection to the subconscious mind, of your intuition, of your ability to open up a part of you that I think traditionally men have had a harder time doing. So without you, I am nothing. So anyway, happy Women's Month. I'm glad you're working at home. What made me think of that was they did a special today about women working at home and how there was a lot of pressure for them to stop working at home, but how they sort of made it happen and prospered during the pandemic because they had to figure out a way to stay home. I don't know why this was only on women, but traditionally the mothers had to stay home with the kids because kids weren't going to school. I guess that's still a specific, I don't know if it's a stereotype, but I think it's a very common thing. I don't know. I don't like to get into that, which is what I want to talk to you guys about too. I want to talk to you about this consciousness of correctness, but I'll get there. So hi, Pamela. Thanks again. K-Dragon, Jackie, good golly gracious morning to everyone. Thank you, Mark, for personal understanding. It's taken a long time, but I finally know who I am. Thanks to Mark and the beautiful 1-2 family. Jackie, you were adorably wonderful and give way too much credit out here for your brilliance. Thank you. Maya, hey, welcome. Charlene, hello, all with a special hug to all the fellow members of the Pisces Sun Clan. March 3rd, date of birth. Oh, Charlene, happy birthday. Oh, that's so good. Happy birthday, Pisces, all of you. It's wonderful. Yes, it's a beautiful gift, Alishea. And Jennifer's got her coffee in the hand and chilling until after the void of course moons. She's like me. I think we don't like those VOCs, those void of course moons. I try not to shop under them, but whatever. Maureen, thank you. Thank you for making my 3-hour trek back to Maryland. Oh, you drive safe. Thanks for taking me with you. It's about all the travel I'm going to get, except for my Ariel America and Ariel Britain. I just watched Ariel Britain, Erica, by the way. Beautiful. Lovely, lovely, lovely. It's the only way to travel for this little cancer boy. Laura, welcome. Quelly, thanks for being here. Ellsworth, always good to see you. I'm loving your gif of coffee. Hi, Lori Love. Thanks for coming. Lori's the 2 shows after mine. Please stay tuned for that. She's also a dutiful Capricorn. Alishea, it's your birthday today. And oh my gosh, so you have one as well. Happy birthday, Alishea. If I believed in coincidence, she says, Moon is in Gemini, as is my ascendant. Saturn in the 5th, Libra. Okay. Oh, in the 5th. Okay. So glad to be spending it with the 1-2 tribe. Alishea, happy, happy, happy birthday to you. You've been so dear to come all these years with us. And so appreciate you. And what a year to have a birthday with all this Pisces in the sky. It's just such a good year. The solar return charts are looking amazing. You guys are going to have what you want, seriously. Lioness is in the house. Jay, thank you for being here. Pamela, on the nose mark, Scorpio Sun, Gemini rising. A bit frustrating, really. Talk about that rising sign. I love it. And Julie Miller, good morning to you and everyone. You always spark these aha truth moments for me. I'm so glad, Julie. Aries Sun, Pisces Moon, Cancer rising, Saturn in Aries. How people perceive me often feels very different from how I am inside, and sometimes the inner Aries in me gets frustrated with my chart baggage slowing down. I bet it does. No need for the frustration, but I bet it does get frustrated. Denise Francis. Yes, last Wednesday I pushed away my desire to be with friends and questioned where I fit in. Sag Sun, Scorpio rising, Saturn in the 11th in Libra. That 11th house, Libra, Denise, that's friendship. I think it's good that you do assessments. I think you have to do that. You have to sort of say, okay, see, here's my suggestion. I think something happened that disappointed you, Scorpio rising, right? I think something happened to disappoint you with one of the friends, and the Saturn in Libra, what Libra tries to do is be fair, but it also tries to be objective and impartial. So I would take a look and see this moment of like, wait a minute, I'm looking and seeing what's really going on here. Like, but try to get a little deeper and see if there was a moment when you felt betrayed or hurt or something like that, because that's usually when we want to hit that reset button, but Libra likes to be nice about it. So see, bypass that Libra just for a minute and see if there was something that went on. And I say, write it out. You can also forgive and let go and realize the minute you realize what you're reacting to, it can actually have a big difference. Linus, I have it in the 8th. Okay. We'll talk about the houses for sure. Because those like houses to have Saturn in the 8th house in a watery house makes it doubly about your feelings and about like getting the tone right to understand how you're doing. Melissa, love your insight today, Mark. Saturn in Cancer in the 8th. Never had kids. Maybe due to fear. Yeah, well, it's not that. We'll talk. Also, my grandmother was everything. Oh, like you mentioned last week. God. Yeah. Love my grandma too. So Saturn in Cancer is kind of like, there's a part unconsciously that just, I remember the t-shirt I wanted to design for Saturn in Cancer, which was, I'm not your mother. And it's sort of like, it's either like, it's wrestling with this sort of concept of how much do I want to embrace? I could be consumed by my caregiving, or I don't want anything to do with it. Saturn is the seesaw of opposites. And it doesn't matter the why that you didn't have kids. What matters is that you have this part of you inside that understands what it's like to be one. You were one, and that you can raise her, that you can. And I bet you, you have kids. They just didn't come from you. So take a look at that one. Sarah, hi. Okay, you guys. There's more. I'll refresh later. I just want to continue a little on this concept. Now, if you take Saturn in Pisces, I want you to understand a couple things. Feelings in there are deep. They're deep. Your mind wants to give you an understanding and wants to attribute a why to it, because that's what the mind needs to do. It needs to figure it out to keep you safe. So I want you to understand that as you're looking at Saturn's transit through your life, through your house, and those of you that know your chart, we'll talk about, you know, as it's traveling through these different houses, what it's doing. And I'll probably cover a lot of that over time because we have 2.5 years. But for right now, like for Quelly, Saturn in the eighth, think about this. The eighth, the 12th, and the fourth house are the water houses naturally. Like, so those houses, when we talk about them, it's the home, the fourth house. It's sex, the eighth house, depth, intimacy, and the 12th house, the unconscious. Those are all the watery houses. And the stage is set as a water house. So when, no matter what sign, and I hate to use all this language, no matter what sign is ruling that house, it has the components, okay, the essential meaning of that house is watery. So when Saturn is transiting, when Saturn is in one of those houses, 8, 4, or 12, if you happen to know your chart, then the depth of it is serious. It goes deep. And so one of the things in there is guilt. Take a look, you know, for all of us, and this is Saturn in Pisces, for all of us, our guilt. Like Pisces feels everything. Imagine if you were a Pisces, you feel everything. So somebody, like you tell somebody, you know, I went to the movies last night, and they go, why didn't you ask me? Oh my God. Pisces is like, well, I wouldn't even consider that. But inside going, oh shit, I hurt them. They feel it. So now take Saturn, which magnifies the positive aspect, like the depth of feeling, and then magnifies the defense against the depth of feeling, which is like, I don't want to feel anything. You never know which of that pendulum is going to swing. You have to be ready. So Saturn becomes like one of the most extreme of all the planets, in the sense that on one hand, it's like it wobbles into this territory, and the other hand, it wobbles into this territory, the exact opposite. So if you've been, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is, letting go of friends or deciding to hit the reset button or just pulling back enough just to see where I might have gotten hurt or whatever, you have to have a sense of permission, first of all, to do it, and then permission to forgive if you see yourself that you might have made a choice that was not correct. This is the most important thing I can offer you from advice on dealing with emotional stuff. One of the reasons we don't want to look is we don't have a method of forgiveness. We don't have a method to get over it, to find the so what of what we're doing. Shame, hurt, guilt, fear. If you can't look at something that you're up to and have a method to finally go, okay, it's what I do, any of those, and not have some mechanism of, okay, there's a reset we can do. There's a forgiveness thing we can do here. Then you're never going to look. And you're just going to keep doing what you do and the pace you do it in. And if you're fire and air, you're going to just keep looking out here. And if you're water and earth, you're going to keep sinking back in, avoiding it, doing something unconscious. But that's the goal here, is to build the foundation, Saturn, that accommodates not feeling bad, accommodates a way out. So if you're going to build anything with your Saturn, which Saturn is the builder, build an alternative way to deal with something that you've stuffed down that you're so afraid of. And part of that means, listen, if you're going to forgive yourself for doing this thing that you already hate other people for doing, it might mean you have to kind of, you might not have to, but you might be forgiving them. And that'd be embarrassing. But it's all okay. You don't have to act on any of it. You don't have to act yet. You're taking care of this kid. Remember this little pet, this lovely thing inside of you that is so scared. You're taking care of it. So the timing is yours. You get to do whatever you want. You could forgive people and never let them know. Because that's not, if somebody hasn't forgiven you, it's not up to them to make you feel better. It's up to you to deal with it. So there's no timing here. There's nothing that there's a requirement, but you do have to have a way out. And the way out might be, and I'm using the word forgiveness, meaning like the so what meaning. So what? Okay. So what? And if you take that so what and you apply it to everyone that's ever hurt you, it kind of softens it a little bit. And guess what? Your need to hate them kind of goes away. Doesn't mean you have to go love on them. It doesn't mean you have to let them know. But it does free up some part of you. You know that Uber commercial? They go, brilliant. It's brilliant how they did it. But in order to remember all of your orders, that you have to just forget one thing. You just pick one thing to forget. It's brilliant. It really is to me. I mean, some people probably said that's the dumbest thing they ever saw. But that's the thing here with forgiveness. It's like you might forget why you hate somebody. That's okay. It's okay. They're not involved in this. It was all yours anyway. Your projection on them, who they are, what you put together. You don't have to now have a birthday party for them. You just have to get, oh, that's what I projected on. That's what I get. Okay. And at some point, if it's appropriate and you need to do that, you can say, I get it. I see differently now. And I apologize for any harm that did to you. If you want, but they might be dead. They might move on the other side of the country. The forgiveness happens in you. And if you start with that, every person that had a similar grievance for you, that falls away too. And I'm not about this having kumbaya moments with people. Please, that's I got to work on that because that's no thank you. I am kumbaya. So you ain't ever going to know if I let go or not because it's happening in me. That's the most important thing. Because you might go say, I forgive you. And they're like, for what? You know, like, I didn't feel that. It's yours. It's all in you. Okay, so that's my tip of the week, working with Saturn. I'm refreshing the page real quick because I don't want to ignore you. And I love that you come here. And listeners, thank you for listening. Even if you're listening to the podcast, I am on Buzzsprout. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I have, the websites, 1-2 Radio, as you know, 1-2. Listen, 1-2 Reports. If you want to get a report, it's a computerized thing. We just sort of send them right out. James says, hi, Mark. Yes. Key interest in Saturn through Pisces. I promise you, James, we're going to get through the houses. I think that's might be what you mean, but we definitely will. We got to really work with this Saturn concept. I think more importantly is to understand when you have Pisces and you have Saturn together, the depth of that, the importance of that, the surrealness of that placement is so important. And remember this, it will cover guilt. It will cover your sense of intimacy, letting somebody in or not. And I am one that's opposed to the word, like they have intimacy issues. No, you just don't like the way they are close with you. You don't like the way they do it. So it's like, you know, when somebody has a problem, does something we don't like, we get to go to them. We get to go to them and say, you know, you have a problem. It's this disease. It's like, oh my gosh. So anyway, it's how you get intimate. It's how you let people in. And it's sometimes you notice with Saturn, it's either like you open the floodgates and go, oh crap, I opened the floodgates. Oh, I'm feeling all this. Or it's like, nobody gets in. Nothing. Nobody. gates closed. And we're trying to navigate that energy because it's hard to get that middle of the road energy with Saturn because there's wounds involved. And Saturn, we all, when with Saturn in Pisces, for everybody in that house that it's in your life, that area of your life, that's where you can notice the wounds. Now, mine is fourth, fifth. It's like near the bottom of the chart. I have been doing a lot of review about home, about my childhood. And it's like, it's so confusing. But for some reason, as much as I've analyzed it and looked at it, I get there and review it again. And it's sort of like, okay, now with Saturn in Pisces, I'm having a chance to sort of navigate that with a little more sense of myself. And that key thing, the so what, the forgiveness component is very important. You have to say, so what? So those of you that did the worst thing you can ever think of, you think back in time and you still grimace at the thought of what you were doing, please add somebody saying to you, so what? I don't care how bad it is. I really want you to hear that. I want you to go, okay, relax. You did it. You did it. Take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. Or this was done to you. Take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. And I'm not trying to minimize. I'm not trying to minimize it. Like, I'm not trying to make it less like some of these things are pretty bad because I know they are. They hurt really deeply. I'm trying to get you to start cracking open the cement wall you put around it. Maybe even steel, maybe granite, whichever is stronger. Okay. Just trying to get a crack in there just a little bit. Let some life come in. Life moves on. Okay. Let's take a look at how y'all are doing real quick. Okay. I forgot to go all comments. I apologize. Okay, here we go. Now we're going. All right. So I prefer to be thought of as a beautiful Capricorn rather than a dutiful one. I'm sure you're both. James, I got you. Okay. Lynn, yes, forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves. Thanks, Mark, for this conversation. Alicia, recovering Catholic, spoon-fed guilt. Yes, indeed. From all sides. Reading a great book on guilt. In fact, getting a group together to do it. It looks like it's called Guilt as the Teacher. Guilt is the teacher. Love is the, that's kind of faded out, but lesson. It's by Joan Borisenko. I remember Joan. I'm glad she's still doing her thing. Great, Alicia, a great recommendation. So you guys, yeah, Saturn in Pisces equals guilt. Take a look at where you do your sense of like where you're feeling bad. And also it's where you have, if you're afraid to let somebody in too deep. So see that? So you have to find like what your, it's like, okay, Are you going to stand beside yourself or not? And that is always going to be my message to you. But particularly during this closeness of Mercury, which is in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, Sun in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces time period. Now, as Saturn gets, Neptune is soon going to be out of Pisces. It's near the very end. So we're really getting inundated with this right now. Okay. We're really starting to feel this sort of feelings about everything in the world and every, are the people close to us? And we may be questioning a lot of things. We may be exploring a lot. All that's going to just get louder. So hopefully we can get you using Saturn to be able to understand where you start and something else begins, where something else ends, you know, that sort of boundary where you understand where you are in all that. I think it's important to take a sort of psychic shower and rinse off all the people that you take on, all the issues that you take on, all the worries that you take on, and keep pushing for a neutral point where, okay, I'm starting fresh here. Now I can see what I've collected through the day. People that sort of, you know, got in there and I'm worried about this or this bill or this thing, like just being able to take note and then use Saturn to sort of see how you're going to sort it through. Okay. Let me see how we're doing on time. We're kind of coming to a close, so I want to give you some tips about the week ahead. There's a bunch of changes happening over the weekend. This is new moon week, so we'll have a new moon show directly after next week. This time, the new moon will have happened in Pisces. Do you hear that? In Pisces. So this point, 10 degrees Pisces-ish, anytime you hear something's near that point, you're going to feel this, what we're talking about today. There's a good chance that you're going to have this energy to work with. Okay. For those of you that really felt it this week, it's sort of a chance. Once again, check in on your guilt, check in on, you know, what you've taken on in the world. Check in on your worry, check in on your oversensitivity, check in on overabsorption. Okay. Just check in. And that new moon, as we're building toward it, the moon gets darker. So it can affect a little bit of our sense of hope. Okay. And I want you to be able to just have an awareness about that too. Mercury will be moving into Aries this weekend. So we're going to pop out of some of the things from the past. That's the other thing about Pisces. Things, people, and things from the past sort of come up in droves. So if you're noticing people coming through, you remember my trick about drop the cancel sign on anything you don't like if it's coming? because Pisces is also psychic. It's also sort of premonition. So I see something, if somebody comes to mind, I don't want to talk to them, I drop the cancel sign on them right away. Or if I have a situation, I think I don't like that situation, I drop the cancel sign on it. It just helps me break the pattern. It's almost become a little bit of an addiction. Oh, that's Pisces too. Okay, so you get the point. Addictions, those are things that you can also break under Saturn in Pisces. The sense of knowing the difference between a premonition and a fear. Yeah, one doesn't usually invoke fear. All right. I'm going to hit refresh and wrap it up for you guys, but we'll talk about the new moon next week because that's definitely going to happen. And this is a void of course. Now, remember this void of course. Denise, thank you so much for your kind words. You guys seem like you're doing great. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know Christina LaFrance is next. And Lori Love, the beautiful and dutiful Lori Love is next. And the Jamie Dawn is after Lori. So I think we have a great lineup for you this Monday. Also, please visit 12listen.com, get at 12house.com, and get on the mailing list for the Power Peak. It would appreciate it. As always, I wish you guys a most beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful life. I'm glad we share this every week together. I don't know what I'd do without you, honestly.